Greetings in the precious name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a privilege to be here this morning and to hear the thoughts that were shared in Sunday school. I had to think of Paul and Silas in prison and some of the thoughts that were shared about what enables a person to sing when they're prisoners. And I had to wonder sometimes if maybe I look too much at the natural things, at the things that I'm experiencing, rather than allowing God to show me that He's in control and I can voice my praise to Him. Not quite a year and a half ago, I shared a message on the reality of eternal hell. So this morning, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I'd like to bring a sequel to that message, and this message is entitled Heaven. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Jesus here talking to his disciples, he's giving them many encouragements, many directions, many sayings that he has here at the end of his life, just his natural life here on earth, just before he is crucified. He's talking to them, and he's telling them about his going away. He's telling them about his crucifixion. He's telling them about him, his death. And Peter, of course, made that declaration, when Jesus said, you can't follow me now, but you will follow me later. Peter says, I'm going to go with you even to death. And Jesus tells him that, no, you won't. You will actually deny me before the cock crows in the morning. And I believe the disciples were very troubled about what all Jesus was telling them, what was happening, he was their master, he was their teacher, he was their leader. And he's saying he's going to go away, and they won't be able to follow him. And I believe they were beginning to understand that he was talking about death. And then Jesus has these words in chapter 14. He starts out and says, let not your heart be troubled. Brother Steve mentioned about all the troubling things that are happening in the world today. And we see that all around us. And sometimes maybe we get a little fearful, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in this world? What's going to happen to us? You know, if our country would go to war, or maybe if a nuclear war would begin, what would happen to us? And we fear about these things. But Jesus here is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying, God and I are one. There may be some confusion. The Jewish leaders called him a blasphemer because he made himself equal with God, and yet he was. And he was encouraging his disciples to place their trust and their belief in him. And then he says, he talks about his Father. In his Father's house, there's many mansions, many dwellings. And I believe the German would say, and Ed, you can help me out on this, but I think the German says, viele Wohnungen, or many, many dwellings, many places to live. And As I think about what the disciples were facing, what they were facing in their life, the turmoil, the questions, the the fears that they had in their life, probably very similar to some of the ones that we're facing today. And here Jesus says, there's many mansions in my Father's house. And he said, if it wouldn't be that way, I would have told you, because of his honesty. Jesus was an honest man. Jesus was an upright man. Jesus was a righteous man. He was the Son of God, and there was no untruth in him. And he told the disciples that if it weren't true that you were my disciple and you were a follower of me and you are one of God's people, if that weren't true, if I couldn't tell you that there's mansions for you, I would tell you otherwise. And I believe today we have that spirit, God's spirit that works with us and either confirms or lets us know that we're not a child of God through conviction, through that conscience that works in us. But Jesus says here, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus says, I'm not just going to my Father's mansions, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he makes it personal. He's talking to his disciples. He doesn't just say, I'm going to prepare a place for everybody, but he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I believe this morning, brothers and sisters, as we are disciples of God and of Jesus Christ, we can hear those words being spoken to us. Jesus didn't leave us here just to wander and flounder, but he gave his spirit to us to lead us and direct us. We have his word, and we have the consciousness of the fact and the truth that he has gone to prepare a place for us. Brothers and sisters, this morning, when you stop and think about heaven, what comes to your mind? You hear the word heaven. What do you think about? And I had to challenge myself on that, because Jesus says here, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He wanted his disciples, he wanted his followers to be with him there. And yet so many times when heaven is mentioned, and I think about heaven, I think of the streets of gold and I think of the gates of pearl, and we're going to look at that, a little bit of that later. And you know, all the marvelous things that river of life and the tree of life, and we think of all of those things. Brothers and sisters, do we realize that we're going to be in the very presence of God and of Jesus Christ? Is that something that we think about when we think of heaven? We may think of our loved ones that have gone on before, and we're going to meet them. I think of the psalmist when he says, I long to meet my Savior first of all. Is that what we think about when we think about heaven? Jesus went to prepare a place for us. And he wants us there. He wants us to be with him. Yes, there's beauty, there's grandeur, there's blessings, there's no more sorrow and no tears and no dying and no crying. But Jesus is there. We can be with Jesus in person. And not only that, but we can be before the throne. The presence of God is there. And I think about heaven, and I ask the question in the message on the reality of eternal hell. I ask the question, how many believe in hell? And I believe every hand went up. And I'm going to ask the question, how many of you believe in heaven? How many of you want to go to heaven? Of course. And we think about everything that Jesus and God did for us to get into heaven. Brothers and sisters, why are we trying to get away with as little as possible to get there? Why are we not willing to give ourselves wholeheartedly to God and to his service because of what he's done for us and what he's preparing for us? And yet it seems sometimes You know, we do just enough to appease our conscience and to assure us that we're going to heaven. And I wonder sometimes if we have that attitude, whether God is satisfied with that or not. Am I really willing to show my dedication and commitment to God, not only in word, but in deed, in actions, being willing to live a life that is wholly dedicated to God? I'm not saying you're never going to make a mistake. I'm not saying you're never going to fall into sin and have to repent again. But where is our dedication? We think about heaven. We think about all those glories there. Don't we want to be sure that we're going to get there? Or do we want to just, you know, okay, I think this is going to be enough. I think this will get me through. That where I am, there you may be also. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be with God. We're going to dwell with them eternally. If we live a life on this earth that gives us the entrance into heaven, there will be no more separation from God. There will be no more sin, no more temptation that we have to battle. There will be no more trials. There will be no more parting of loved ones. Job had his faith placed in this when he says in Job 19, verse 26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." He knew, he had faith, that even if he dies, it's not the end of life, and he'll get to see his Savior and his God. In verse 27, then he goes on and says, "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Brothers and sisters, there's individuals in this world that would like to convince themselves that when they die, that's the end. So they're living it up now because this is the time that they can find joy and happiness and pleasure. Brothers and sisters, we know that death is not the end of our existence. We have a soul within us that will live eternally. There is a destination called heaven that we can look at and we can picture in our minds. Do we want it? Do I want it? Am I willing to give up what is required now in order to gain what can never be lost? Turn to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to take the time to read these verses because I want us to get in our minds the picture of what heaven is. And I know we read these verses a lot. We read over them and we think about it, but I want you to concentrate as we read this morning. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 21. I'm going to read through verse 5 of chapter 22. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he saith unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length of the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysophoras, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and no need. And they need no candles, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And we could sit here and contemplate that and think about that, think about the glories of heaven. And as I read over that, the many different times it mentions the presence of God and the presence of Jesus Christ. And as we let our minds wrap around that as much as we can, I think as John wrote this, he wrote it in the words of man. This was a description in the language of man. I think the language of man is insufficient to describe heaven. And I think even with these pictures that we have here, our mind is incapable of comprehending what God has in store for us there. I think we can draw pictures, we can have imaginations in our minds, but I know that when we get there, we're just going to stand in awe of what God has prepared for us. And we're going to stand in awe before God as we see him face to face sitting there on his throne in heaven. And we can kneel before him, we can cast our crowns before him, we can praise him, we can shout hallelujah with the angels and all the praising images that are there, the 24 elders. We're going to join in the singing around the throne. We're going to see each other's faces. And I believe there's going to be joy as we see those that we know. And I know, brothers and sisters, there's going to be joy in my heart if I see your faces there. Many of you have parents, loved ones that have gone on before. We're going to meet them there. But I believe that if we really comprehend heaven, we're going to say with that songwriter, I want to see my Savior first of all. Twice in the verses that I read here in Revelation, it talks about what's not going to be there. Once in verse 8 of chapter 21, and once again in verse 27 of chapter 21. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to recognize as we sit here and think of the beauties and wonders of heaven, we need to realize that there's some things that aren't going to make it, some people that aren't going to make it. He talks about it there in verse 8, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the warmongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars, they have their part in the lake that burneth with fire. They're not going to be there. Negro Spiritual says, everyone talking about heaven ain't going to be there. We need to reckon with the fact that there are some things that can keep us out of heaven. And that is why it is so important here and now that we correct those things, that we confess those things, and that we allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide and direct us so that when we come to the end of life, we can be assured that heaven is our home. We can be assured that Jesus is going to receive us. In Revelation chapter 22, 22 and verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Brothers and sisters, it is important for us here and now to do his commandments so that we have the right to enter into that city that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. I heard a man say one time that he can't imagine what Jesus is preparing if it takes him all these years. When God created everything we see here just by speaking the word in 6 days' time. I'm not sure what all heaven included before God created man and before the world was created. I'm not sure what all heaven included. I'm not sure what Jesus means by he's going to prepare a place for us. Maybe it just simply meant that he's going to take his blood into heaven itself, like the Hebrew writer says, and open that gate to us like the veil was rent and gave mankind the direct access to God. And now Jesus is going into heaven, and by that blood, he is giving us direct access to heaven itself. I'm not sure what all Jesus meant when he told the disciples that he's going to prepare a place. But brothers and sisters, we can be assured that what Jesus said, he meant. And it was the truth. He's preparing a place for us. It's not something we have to doubt. It's not something we have to worry about. It's not something we have to, is it really true? Is heaven really as great as what Jesus and John here, through the revelation of Jesus Christ, makes it sound like? I can assure you, brothers and sisters, that heaven and all its grandeur is far greater than what you and I can imagine or think. Have you ever seen gold that is transparent glass? Have you ever seen the jewels so large that they're the size of a gate? Have you ever seen precious stones used for a foundation? Usually precious stones are put up somewhere where you can see them, and they're put out, you know, for everybody to look at. Gold is used streets. Precious stones are used for foundation stones. So what else is in that city that we can't even imagine in all its glory and grandeur? Brothers and sisters, Jesus went to prepare that for us. Jesus wants us there with him. He says, "I didn't leave to go away and stay away. I left to prepare a place, and I'm going to come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is Jesus' desire. But not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," Jesus says, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not just a lip profession that gives us the key to that heavenly city. Jesus says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Are we doing the will of God today in our lives? Are we allowing the Spirit of God to work through us and in us, to work his will, and to bring glory and praise to him, and to point souls to the salvation? That's the individuals that are going to enter heaven, those who have committed themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ through his blood. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, just following after what we read there, he says in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas had asked him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, Jesus is saying, I'm going to go, and you know where I'm going, and you know the way. And Thomas said, well, we don't understand, Lord. We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, a warning. Yes, these things are being prepared for you. But there is only one way that you can attain that heavenly goal. There's only one way that you can be with me. There's only one way that I'm going to be willing to receive you. And that is if you come by the way that the God of heaven prepared, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ and lordship to him. I wonder sometimes as we think about heaven whether we realize and take seriously the fact that the preparation for that is taking place right now in heaven. Jesus is there, but the preparation for us to experience it is taking place right here on earth within us and our heart and our attitudes and our imaginations and our commitment to Jesus Christ. We're going to kneel for prayer, and I'm going to ask that Brother Johnny lead in the Zion's Praises number 655 for the closing song. Let's kneel for prayer.